Blog Talk Radio.
In the mighty name.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, welcome to our morning service, Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Amen. With Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, we are so excited that you have taken time, amen, out of your schedule to join us for yet another word from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, before we begin, as we're preparing our hearts and our minds, amen, we just want to go into the announcements. Immediately following the announcements, we're going into prayer, and then once we do prayer, the next voice you will hear will be none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So just want to go into the announcements real quick. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website, and we do invite you there on our website. We're actually doing some continuous work, amen, but nevertheless, the website is up and running and active. So we would love to hear from you. We want to know what God is doing in your life, and we also want to know how this ministry or this broadcast is blessing your life, amen. For those partners who have already joined us, we thank you for continuously partnering with us. We thank you for your contributions as well, amen, that we are praying for you. We are praying much success for you, amen, and we're praying that God's will be fulfilled in your life, amen. Amen. If any of you would like personal information concerning the church, if you would like a prayer request, someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, or if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister at any one of your engagements, as you're on our website, once again, www.ctkr.org. As you're on our website, go to the Contact Us page located at the top of the website. Follow those instructions, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen? Amen. Also want to let you know, we're asking right now that you would ask the Lord to, for those of you who are new to this site or to our ministry, ask the Lord to not only support us in prayer, amen, but also to be a financial supporter with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We have many sons and daughters, many ministries, amen, that are under our covering, amen, and they are overseas as well as in the States. And not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well, because they too, amen, have visions, and they too have kingdom assignments that they must fulfill. And the work of the Lord cannot just get done on prayer alone, amen. You need financial support so that the kingdom of God can move forward. Amen? Amen. Also, finally, just visit us on our Facebook pages. We have Facebook pages. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Amen. Like us there on our Facebook pages. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. We'd love to hear from you. Amen. Glory to God. Now, those are the announcements for this morning. Let's go into prayer, and then immediately following prayer, we're going into praise and worship, and then the following voice you will hear will be none other than the man of God, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We glorify you. God, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, there's nobody like you. We humble ourselves at your feet this morning. We just begin to worship you and magnify and glorify you. God, we say thank you for all that you've done. God, we thank you for the favor. We thank you for second chances. God, we thank you for opening doors. We thank you for favor with you and with man. God, we thank you for the word that you spoke over us on last night. Father, we thank you for the prophetic seed that you just planted in this place. God, we thank you that that word is going to bring up a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for the souls that are continuously coming in. We thank you for the finances and the resources that are continuously coming in to complete your will and your way. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name, Father, that you would just continuously put your anointing, God, not only your presence, but once again, I ask the request for the kabod, the weight of your Lord to rest on this house, and not only Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, but rest on those, your people that are following your will and your way, those that have not turned to the left or the right, but that are preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, and that have your word in their mouth and your spirit, God. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you will begin to empower your people, that they will begin to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. Father, that they will recognize and realize the authority that you put on the inside of them, that they will no longer be victims, but that they will be victors in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as the pastor comes around his head, once again with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God, let him come forth with the word of the Lord, the fresh bread of life in his mouth. God, we, your people, have our ears open and attentive to hear, and our eyes and our hands lifted up to be purified and ready to receive. Father, we thank you and we bless you for all that you're doing. We thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle. We thank you, God, for the word that's coming forth, and we shall be obedient to the way and your will for our lives. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Put those hands together, amen, and let us receive Sister Melissa for praise and worship, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory in this place. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you glory in this place.
Yeah.
We honor you today, oh God. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Call it quit. This thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want the Lord. Hear my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill me up, fill me up and make me whole. I need the all I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, let me know my day. Of our King rise among us this morning. Hallelujah. God, we just worship you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise.
Let it rise.
the glory, let the glory,
I'm going to go to the hospital. Amen.
amen, on this morning, amen. The next voice you will hear, prepare yourself for the word of the Lord, is none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us receive the man of God with a hand clap of praise. Let us receive him with a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Do you know, often we say give God praise to most people for simply just pat their hand? But that is not giving God a praise. Amen?
Amen.
What that is the act of toqua. What that is we strike a blow, amen, against the enemy, amen. And there's a time for that, and then there's a time simply to give God a praise, amen. Now, let me simply help you all to understand that a praise has to proceed out of your mouth, amen. Look at your neighbor and say,
a praise must proceed.
Out of your mouth. Amen. And I want you to understand why a praise must proceed out of your mouth. It must proceed out of your mouth because when a praise comes out, amen, then it takes on life. Amen. And when it takes on life, then it begins to go up and create whatever it was magnifying, amen?
Yes.
So we never want to get to a place where we're simply just clapping our hands. Give God a praise.
Yes.
Because this right here did not bring life to anything. The taqwa praise that we talk about is clap your hands, amen? It needs to strike the blow,
yes.
Amen? It is a thing that we do against the enemy. So when we deal with taqwa, we're striking the blow. So when you clap your hands, you're really just striking the blow. Amen? Now, that can be good because if you're striking the blow against the enemy, that's why we clap our hands. It destroys the atmosphere. Whatever the enemy's trying to do, it destroys that. Amen? It brings them into subjection, if you will. But then there's a time when we praise the Lord. Amen? And praise has to go forth out of our mouths because he breathed into us the breath of life, amen. And when he breathed into us, amen, what we did was we took on spirit. So when we breathe it back out, it was praise. We just give the spirit of our praise, amen. We give it right back to him, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, let's give God a praise now.
Let's give God a praise now. Hallelujah.
Amen. So when we learn how to give God his praise, amen, then we learn how to simply come in and give him what is due him. Amen. Amen. Now, today we want to get into this word. We're dealing with the series, It's Time to Build. Amen. And I'm so grateful that God has given us an opportunity. Last night, we had a time. Amen?
Amen?
And those of you who are here know that the power of God came in, and Dad began to come around here, and he got happy. I tried my best not to touch the hammer. But he yelled one time too many, and I couldn't help myself. And I had to get a little bit too, so he said, amen. It was good, amen. But then he began to decree and declare some things, amen, and we know that they are true. How many know that God will speak a word and then send confirmation of that word?
He will.
And too often what we do is we hear a word, but we don't look for the confirmation of the word. And when we don't get that confirmation, when it doesn't come to pass, then we try to blame or point at other people. But look at your neighbor and say, God will send the word.
God will send the
word. I'm going to say it again, God will send the word.
God will send the word.
And when that word comes, that word will come and bring life. That's just like that phrase. You have to understand that death and life proceed out of your mouth. Amen. The Bible says very clearly that death and life are in the power of hell. And they that love it will eat the fruits thereof. So most of the time what's happening is you are eating your word. Hello, somebody. If you want a better life, stop talking about the terrible life you got and start speaking those things that are not as though they were, until they become what was spoken. Amen? Amen. So we heard him speak some words, and as he began to speak them, they began to minister to us, and they began to affirm and reaffirm what God has already said concerning us. Amen? So I'm so happy and glad that God took time with me. Amen? And if he's making me, then that means there's a process to my making. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, there is a process to your making. So often we think that we're just going to arrive. The Lord just have somebody come and put some oil on me and lay hands on me and let me just arrive where I'm supposed to be at. I don't, all that process and stuff, I like me. But God said, listen, if I'm going to work with you, you got to look like I need you to look to represent me. Amen? And he begins to get rid of some stuff that don't represent him. Amen? Amen. So, we're looking at this building here. We're looking at building of the tabernacle, amen? And let me just do this. If you will bring up Luke, the first chapter, we're going to do just a little bit of reading, probably about 10 verses, the Lord said the same. But Luke 1 and 26. Just a little bit more than 10 verses. Amen. And we're looking at it in the King James Version. I'll read from the New King James Version. Amen. But I want you to see what's going on here. Amen. And I'm going to move quickly. Let's read the whole thing. It says, now in 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, the 34th verse, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, listen closely now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Bow your heads real quick. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that you open up our hearts and our minds that we can receive the word. Help us, Lord, to articulate the revelation and to exegete this passage properly, Lord. Speak to us now the rhema word that we need to hear from the logos that is written. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mouth. Help me, Lord, to do your work and your will. Anoint my life, my body, that it follows the plan you have set for me. And as I follow you, Lord, cause those that will follow to come and follow as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Say it again, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Now, it's interesting. There's a couple of things that I want to get to with this, and of course, we want to take back and just quickly recap where we've been. We started with Moses and the tabernacle, amen. The design and the plan. You have to understand that whenever God designs and plans your house, He already knows where everything should go in it. Nothing was left to chance with Moses in the design of the tabernacle. He told him how long. He told him how high, how wide. He told him what colors. He told him about the embroidery. He told him what that should be made out of and how this should come together. He gave him the dimensions and the heights and everything of every article in there, even down to the priest undergarment that was serving for him. If you don't think that God is meticulous, you need to really look at how He designed the tabernacle, because nothing in there was left to chance.
Amen.
He made sure everything was put in its place and on purpose. Amen. For its purpose. So we see that there are certain things that God will do that He takes His time in doing, and He places things in order according to a plan. Everybody say a plan.
A plan.
Come on, say it again, a plan.
A plan.
And in His plan, what He does is He begins to look at where it's going to work and how it's going to operate. And in His planning stage, He makes sure that it's able to be met. In other words, God doesn't give you something that you can't carry. It's something that is not functional for His plan. Everything that God does and everything that God gives you is functional. He doesn't have any wasted motion. He has no leftover parts. Everything has what it's supposed to have when it's supposed to have it. Now look at this here. He didn't leave anything else then when it was time to move the tabernacle from point A to point B. He didn't leave it to anybody's hope y'all get it over there. He was given to the Levites that were given charge of certain articles. If this was your article, you watched over it and made sure that it went from that place over to the next place. And that when it got there, it was set in its place. And that was your service unto the Lord. Nothing. Nothing was left to chance. And we have to understand that if God was meticulous like that then, God is meticulous like that now. Too often in our lives we think that we can give God something and then tell Him, you know what, I got this right here, but why didn't you give it all to Jesus? Because I wasn't comfortable giving that part to Him. But God says, listen, in my planning for your life, I was meticulous.
Amen.
I knew exactly what I was doing and why I was doing it that way. Amen. So it is that when we begin to look at it, the tabernacle was made a certain way. And when the tabernacle, when it came time for them to build the temple, He made sure that everything was done a certain way as well. Amen? He made sure that everything was put in order as well. Amen? So David wants to build now a temple for the Lord. And he says, Lord, I got palaces and everything. Let me build for you a temple. And he said, no, your hands are dirty. They're bloody. You can't do it. But your child, the one that will reign in your stead, will do the work. Amen? Huh? So we see then that Solomon is the one charged to the task. But David making sure that he was able to do what he wanted to do and make sure that it was done right, he began to set aside what needed to go into the temple. Amen? And we see in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, where he actually put aside those things. In 2 Chronicles, the 2nd chapter, we see how Solomon takes the supplies his father has, and he has them here, and he begins to add the manpower or the resources to it. seeing that he was not have enough to do what he wanted to do, he called to the king of Tyre who said, listen, help me out like you helped my father David. In other words, if you're going to do something for God, sometimes the work you have to realize is greater than yourself. Oh, see, thank you for that one, amen, there. Because sometimes we have boards and we have other people who come in and they begin to assess what we can or cannot do based on your credit score, based on your bank account, based on who's who in the city. And sometimes when God is calling you to a place, you need to keep your focus. Everybody say, keep your focus.
Keep your focus.
Say it again, keep your focus. You have to understand focus is the acronym for faith. Hmm? Obedience, compassion, unity, and number S or F is sanctification. Amen. Now, the reason why we deal with this is because when people come in, they'll take the faith right out of your focus. They will. They'll start talking to you about what you can't do or what you ain't never did and how come it never worked for nobody. Well, you know JoJo down the street tried to do the same thing and he went belly up. You know, the other way, he went and he tried to do it and after he got there trying to do it, the first thing that happened is they came and got a house, they came and got a car, and he went bankrupt. Oh, poor Frank and poor JoJo. So what you say you're going to do again? Listen, if you listen to people tell you what won't work, you'll never find out what does. Amen? Thomas Jefferson talked about the thousands of times that he failed trying to make a light bulb. And all of those just said, he said, you know, all of these times just showed me how not to make a light bulb. But it was that one time, everybody. Say one time.
One time.
Come on, say it again, one time.
One time.
That one time it worked. We got light today. Amen? Thank God for somebody who would not give up on something that other people still have doing. Amen? Let me just say something right here because I need to. When God tells you to go ahead and try it again or go ahead and do it again, he's telling you that before you tried to do it yourself, but now I'm in the mix. Uh-huh. Yeah, you made a cake, but you left the eggs out. Guess what? That cake didn't come together too well. Huh? You tried to make pancakes, but you forgot to use the flour. That's a sad pancake, ain't it? Hey, man, I see y'all grinning around here because some of y'all are trying to figure out what you need. You're going to go home and put some flour with that, and it's going to work this time. Huh? But listen, when God tells you to do it, he is that ingredient that causes it all to come together right. Amen? Amen. We look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the anointing. Now clap your hands and give God a praise right there. Come on, open your mouth and give God a praise right there. So Solomon begins to add to what David set aside, King Hiram to him, a man and the resources that can do everything. And that's our last point over there. It's dealing with the fact that you just don't give resources and ability, or you give resources. You don't give resources to people that don't have abilities. Amen?
Amen?
We need to build. We need to do it well. You need to deal with people who know how to build. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because you can spin your wheels, but you ain't getting down the road. Burn up a whole lot of rubber, and they put none of them on the miles on the road. Amen? I refuse to use up my resource standing still. Amen? We got to move. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to move. Amen. So now then, today what we're doing is we're looking at then the building of the temple of God, Emmanuel. And we have gone into the scripture and we have looked a couple of places and seen that there was word that was spoken, amen, concerning what should happen. But we see that it failed slightly. Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's go to Isaiah the seventh chapter. Let's go to the 10th verse because I have to clarify something here. I'm going to read quickly. It says, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God, after either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahab said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And listen, let me just say something right here. People look at this and think that he was being saintly, but he wasn't. What he was doing was he was being contemptible. Here's the prophet speaking to him saying, listen, the Lord has delivered you, and he's going to do what he's going to do if you will repent and get yourself together. But Ahab decided that he wasn't going to do it. So when he tells him, listen, you looking at your enemies out here, they're about to overtake you. God said he's going to deliver you. Ask God for a sign so he can prove to you that this is what he's going to do. But Ahab here was being stubborn and stiff-necked. So he said, I will not ask, either will I test the Lord. That wasn't him being upright. That was him being downright crazy. Huh? So then look at what he says here, 13th verse. Prophet speaks. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary by that also? In other words, you tire everybody out by being hard-headed. That's a good place to look at your neighbor and say, are you tired enough?
Are you tired enough?
We got a preach right there. God's trying to get you to do something and tells you, come on now, but you won't move or do anything. And God's looking at you saying, okay, all right. Men get tired. I said it before, the Lord is long-suffering but long hath an end. Amen? You've got to understand that long is not forever. Amen? It's just long. And when long is done, it's over. Amen? Amen. 14th verse, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Everyone say Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
That is God with us. Amen. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall come to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and upon your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. So then what you see here then is what we call a messianic prophecy. But it is not really a messianic prophecy, because what he's giving him is not Emmanuel, Jesus. He's giving him a Savior. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, that's a Savior. So what he's telling him is that a Savior will come, but Ahab has rejected the way. So the sign that comes is not the Savior. You understand? And that's where people get legalistic in the word. They try to take prophecies like this and say, Jesus ain't come eat no curds and honey, and he had to figure out the evil. No, hold on. That was for Ahab. Amen. Now go back to Luke 1, and let's go around 33. When we get back to Luke then, we see that there is no question of a deliverer. Amen? We see that everything that God wants to do, he's going to do. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let's go 34. Well, let's go back to 32. Let's make sure we bring this all the way in. Amen? It says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Now notice that Ahab, when he spoke to him, he spoke concerning the house of David. Amen. Now we talked beginning, starting about the Lord will build a house. Amen. Amen. And let the Lord build the house, the laborers labor in vain. When God begins to set in order your lineage and your line, then what he does is he establishes his covenant from the very beginning all the way down through generations. Amen? Huh? And you can choose to obey him. Some of you are living a life right now that is blessed because of three or four generations prior to you, somebody gave God a yes and held on to it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, let me prove that. When they were deciding that they were going to do evil against God, they said, let this be upon us and upon our children and upon our children's children, even to the third and fourth generation. Amen? So when curses go, they can go down lineages, which is why when we start praying for babies, we make sure that any generational attachment that that child would have, we break and we sever in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because you don't have to pay for the sins of hard-headed relatives three or four generations ago. Some of you can look back over your life and notice that things have happened with your mother, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandmother, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin, your... Why is that in your family lineage? It's because there were decisions made before you that were never addressed, amen? And that's why you have certain proclivities in your life. If we're not aware of it, then we'll go on and see that that's just you. But God gave us the ability to address them and destroy the yoke. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the anointing that destroys the yoke. If you got an anointing, why are you just sitting around trying to look pretty with it? Get working. Get active. Do something with it. The world is looking for you. The world needs it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So then we see here that Ahab has rejected Emmanuel. And this is the second time that Emmanuel did come. Notice that we never see Jesus called Emmanuel. Yet and still, he is. He is, by definition, God amongst us. You must also understand that Christ is not his name. It is his title. It is his office. The Christ or the Christos means the anointed. Amen? His name is, though, Jesus.
Right.
So that's just like me being Christopher. Amen? Huh? And my title is Apostle. You see that? So when we say, you say Christopher the Apostle. Or in his case, Jesus the Christ. You see it? Huh? Or you can say Apostle Chris. Or you can say Christ Jesus. The Chris is just the vessel that the title rests upon. And in his case, the anointing rests upon. You understand? We'll get into that a little bit later because I have to make sure that you don't run around thinking that you Jesus.
Right.
Amen? Come on now. Because there's people walking around. The Bible says that in the last day many will come saying that they are the Christ, but don't follow them. There are many people who are taking this stuff out of context and messed it up. Vicariously, they have missed the truth of the gospel. Now they can't walk in power and authority because they misappropriate meanings, misconstrued things. Amen? The devil is a liar. We have power. Look at your neighbor and say, I got power. Oh, you better know it. You better know it. You better know it. Instead of waiting for somebody to tell you you got something, you better know that you have it yourself. Amen? Amen. So as I was saying, this is the second time that this is offered here. The first time was with Ahaz, and now there is a time for humanity. God decides that he's not going to leave it to someone to step up. He's going to do it himself. Amen? So he prepares for himself a body. Well, how does he do that? Well, first of all, to go back to what I said at the very beginning, and that is that he is meticulous. He didn't leave it to chance anything. And I think that if I'm going to create a body, I need to go back to the very cell that will begin to split and multiply in itself to make sure that everything is in place for the task that I have for it. Amen? And so it is here that God began to prepare for himself a body.
Yes.
he begins to tell Mary what's going to happen. In the 31st verse here, or first of Luke, the first chapter, we see the Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And this is the thing that you need to understand here. Nothing can be done without God being involved in it if it's going to be successful concerning his work. Nothing can be done without God's involvement, without him being involved with it. And he has to. If God's going to use you for it, you can't design it and put it together and slap his name on it. Because there's too many people doing that. And when the glory comes, because God did not sanction it to begin with, the glory is just there. And people are trying to take that glory for themselves. Yeah. Look what I did. I came together and got some backers. And we sat down and looked at the plans and put it all together. And you just patting yourself on the back and everything else. You just so impressed with yourself. Listen, if God didn't call it into being, if he didn't say it, then he's not going to sanction it. Too many churches are failing today. Why? Because man went out on a good idea and not out on a call. Many are called. Few are chosen. Some that go out on the call forget that there is responsibility. Amen. You're going to go out and represent him. He's going to cultivate and make you. Amen. You need him. And Mary here found then that she could not do what he was saying if he willed her a couple of ways. First of all, because she knew that she can't have a child without a man. I'll leave that to your parents to talk to your children and explain that one before they get that class at school, because they ain't waiting on you. Okay? And number two, she said, well, even if it were to happen, how could it happen? Each one of our lives, we look at how we have failed or how we have deficiency from one way or another. The call of the Lord comes, and you have to understand that the Lord's presence, when he comes, is the spirit of truth. When he shows up, you see your frailties, you see your flaws. You see your shortcomings. You see your inabilities. Amen? And in seeing all of those things, you realize that what he's saying of you that requires greatness, you lack desperately. And that's where he gives you the comfort. Everybody say the comfort. Here, 36, first, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Now, you have to understand that we really didn't have, at this point, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit like that. Amen? Y'all see that? There really wasn't a Holy Spirit that we even most shy talk about today. It wasn't there. So this is something that is new to her.
Yeah.
You see that? That she's hearing about. And she has to accept something that is foreign to her understanding. Lord, I wish I could preach this. It's foreign to her understanding, and it's foreign to her environment, because she can't articulate how she got pregnant. Back in those days, they would stone someone who got pregnant, wouldn't they? That was the culture they was in. So how is she going to say for 9 months that no one touched me? When everyone knows that in order to come in that condition, somebody has to touch something. Amen? And then when she says the Holy Spirit, who is this Holy Spirit? Where is he at? Show him to us. You see, we got an issue now. There was no shaking. There was no clothes fire that set upon at this point. Yet and still, she has to go away from something that is unfamiliar, something foreign, and accept something that God is saying. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then it's not to leave it there with her. Next verse, you see that he tells her, you ain't the only special one. I wish I could run right there. Because some of you think that God only used you. You're the only one who got it. And when God spoke to you, and he shut down speaking. No, you are not the only one. God is still speaking. And he's speaking to everyone. Those that have a hearing here and coming in alignment with what God wants. Amen. Lord Jesus, Mary, it's told that Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son. And let me just say right here, because we're still talking about God preparing for himself a vessel, you have to understand that the vessel that came as his forerunner, he prepared that as well. Because Elizabeth was there. So some of you have been walking around, I can't, and it ain't never, and that's why I'm so happy every time you say it can't, and it ain't never. I can say that, good, this is your first opportunity to have something that you never had before. I never did, so guess what? This is your first experience at doing. Guess what? That was back then. This is not. There's many times that Zacharias and Elizabeth came together trying to have a child and it didn't work. But this time here, people have already faced her as not having and couldn't have and passed her having years. And it'll never work for you and never accomplish. I want you to know that God knows about geriatric medicine. Lord, I wish I could preach it. It's never too late to say yes to God. Last night, Mom came up and she began to walk and preach, and she was walking slow, but as she was walking, she was ministering that word, amen? Because when the power of God gets on you, your back stops hurting, amen? When we know Dad came up here like this, and when he touched the mic, he began to hold the mic here, but when the power of God hit him, you saw something in him come alive. And so it is that we have put people on the shelf and told people that they have missed it and you can't do it and all your strength is gone. All God wants from you is a yes. Look at your neighbor and just ask him, can God get a yes out of you?
Can God get a yes?
Come on, ask him again, can God get a yes out of you?
Can God get a yes?
If he can get a yes out of you, lift up your hands and tell the Lord yes. Come on, tell him yes.
Yes.
Come on, tell him yes.
Yes.
Now give God a praise. Hallelujah. Praise to your name, Jesus. He didn't just prepare a body for himself. He knew that there had to be predecessor to him coming, a forerunner. He prepared that body too, and he did it in a miraculous way. She couldn't conceive, and now in her old age, she's 6 months pregnant. When Mary gets the call. God does things that other people try to emulate but have no idea of how to do. So whenever people tell you that you can't, look at them and say, if God did it before, God will do it again. Amen? Look what he goes on to say. And this is these last two verses. I really want to hang my hat here. Going to that 37 verse. Wisdom, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say with me, for with God,
nothing
shall be impossible. I want you to understand that every time that you try prior to this, you have gone in your strength. It's good to plan. As a matter of fact, before you go to a bank to talk to them about a business, you must have a business plan. Amen? Before you can successfully graduate from college, you have to have a plan of graduation. There has to be a progression plan. They're not just going to let you go to school just to be there. take every class but have no discipline. You have to declare a major. Amen? Am I right? Even if you want to go general, you have to declare that it's general, but it still has to have a directive. Amen? So before you can get anything, you have to have a focus to what you're doing. There has to be a plan in place. Because without a plan, we don't know if we have executed properly what we're trying to accomplish. You don't know if you have gone this far in your plan or if you only went that far. In planning, we see the flaws and the dips and everything else. I saw this cartoon. It was two spots like this. Top spot says the way we see it, and it was just a straight line from point A to point B. And the second one is how God sees it. And it was a line that started here that went over a trench, down the gap, over through a bridge, around, climb up here. That is a straight line. Because each one of those things that you go through gives you a discipline that you need when you get to point B. So in other words, when God begins to deal with this, God never just gives it to us and leaves it to us. Again, God is meticulous in his planning. He makes sure that you know everything can be done because he planned it that way. But these words right here, these seven words right here, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Seven words that pretty much tells you that your destiny is assured. As long as God is involved in the planning. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Let me just show you something. But I just saw him show me this. You have to understand that on the paper that you write, the ink is what causes things to appear on a blank page. Amen? And Jesus is actually the ink. You're sitting there and we decree and declare in the name of Jesus, it appears as it is said. You understand? The drawings that we put together are all put together according to your faith and the ability of Jesus to do whatever it is. You see that? Now, how could I say that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's what faith is. Yeah, but you have to understand that without faith, what did they have faith in? In what God had promised them. And what did he promise them? He promised them a redemption. Y'all see that? Who was the redeemer? Christ. And when he came, he finished. Period. The word. So Jesus is the author and finisher of the word. And because he is, we know that if there's something in the plan that needs to be addressed, something that needs to be corrected, he has the power to address it. There are some things in your life that you have messed up on and you have gone around that God is creating or he's rewriting that section of what it is that should have been there. But when he gets to the end and he puts the period on the end, it is finished and out. They said it can't be done. Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. My faith in Christ that causes me to believe and understand that with God, nothing shall be impossible. But that's not good enough. that's just a declaration. It is something that we say when we come to the end of ourselves, understanding that he has the power and the ability and the might to do whatever it is we need done. But it's no good without the next verse. Why is that important, the next verse? Well, let's just look at what the next verse says. It says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, without you submitting yourself to God in obedience to his word, regardless of what he wrote. There are many people who are going to pardon how I say this, but it's the truth. But hell wide open. Because he brought out for them their life, and they said, no. And he said, this can do nothing for you. Your faith is not in the plan. You see? This can do nothing for you. It can't work for you. Because you, by your disobedience, have canceled the work. Well, Mary said, that even though what I'm hearing sounds impossible to me, Lord, if you want to build your temple here, let it be done according to your word. I am obedient and I am submitting to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're going to get something from God, it's going to come because you have decided that you want him more than you want yourself. You put him first. Listen, whenever I put God first, God always makes sure that I don't come up shy. Huh? Because every time that I focus on him, he makes sure that my focus at him is returned with his focus on me. You see that? So while he's looking at me, he's seeing what I need around me. And he's beginning to add to me those pieces and parts that need to be there. I never come up deficient as wrong as I'm focused on him. And the same thing with you. God wants to do so much in our lives. But we have to understand that it's not impossible for him. And number two, if it's possible for him, it's impossible for you to submit to an all-powerful God. Huh? Look at your neighbor, just ask him that question. Is it possible? Ask him again, is it possible? What God wants to do with this and what God wants to do through us has to be done with obedience. Obedience. There said, be unto to me. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be unto to me according to thy word. According to thy word. According to thy word. Thy word. I'm trying to figure out where I need to go. You know, how I need to go there. Okay, listen. I'm trying to figure out, Lord, speak to me. Open up my eyes. Open up my understanding, Lord. Okay, here, let me just see what was written. All right. So you really should be going down here. But en route to down here, you got sidetracked and went over here. Two ways to remedy this. I can bring you back to point A, or I can just route you from there. Let me route you from there. Along the way, bring all those other people and those other ones that have gone astray and ended up over there too. See, we think that the plan comes to right here, and once we veer off, then the plan is done. I told a mother yesterday, we was talking about her child, and I said, listen, you have to understand that what God is doing is he's causing them to give him a yes that they won't take back. Amen. When they give him that yes that they won't take back, everybody who went with them over there will come with them over here. This is where God had designed and said that they were supposed to be. And you saw them veer from the path here. But it's not a terrible thing. God can always go in and redo what he wants to do. The question is, will you allow him to reroute you? Number two, those of you who have been saved a while, that I always talk about the main church people, because I remember how, you know, they was just me. Amen. That's just the best way to say it. Amen. We wanted to go to the bathroom. Your eyes are floating in your head, and they make you sit there. You almost have a real problem if you wet yourself and you got in trouble for not going to the bathroom. And I told him he just wet himself because he was being, no, I really have to go. If I had to go, I had to go. I'm not saying I ever wet myself. I'm just saying they were mean like that. Amen? They didn't care. But let, you know, somebody look at their child or say something to them and they was ready. Ah! Okay, wait a minute, hold on. People have walked away from the church. People were driven away from the church. Because those who should have been standing and helping were the ones driving. In the life that you live, you never went out. Yet still, you kept some things on the inside. It is interesting to me when we look at the prodigal son that the culprit in that whole story right there is not the one that went. The one that stayed. You notice that? When the one who went out came back, the father ran in. Hugged him around his neck, took and gave him his robe, and took the ring off his finger and put it on his hand. He was happy. Killed a fat calf. Whoa, my son, who was lost, has found a house. He's come back home. That's how God celebrates us. But we got too many who never went out, refusing to come to the celebration. Refusing to do anything to help those who are coming back. Brothers and sisters, we got to be the church. And we got to love those who were driven away by those who said that they love. Those who were hurt inadvertently, casualties of wars and infighting and stuff, and you never know. We got to love people to life. They're going to come, and we just got to love on them. Amen? The reason why we just love on them is because they are going through so much problems and so many problems already. They don't need to come in and hear who you don't like making macaroni and cheese, who you don't like cooking chicken, and who you don't like ushering on your side of the building, who's sitting in your seat, all that trivial stuff. They ain't got time for that. They just so happy to have a seat. They just so happy to have just a little meal or something. They just so happy that they sitting here and they ain't worried about who's trying to jump on them the next minute from the next. And all that trivial stuff. We can't build or do anything for God with that type of mentality. So we got to let go of that type of stuff. Amen? Amen. God wants to do something in building his kingdom, and he's using us as his tools. And we have to look and take it just like Mary and say, be it unto us according to your word. If God is going to do it, it's going to be done because we allow ourselves to be used. And I want to say this last thing here. Don't ever think that God is stuck with you. I don't know how we think that God, who is not a man, the one who knows the end at the beginning, was shocked when your disobedience showed up. He was not shocked. He knew he was going to do that. He was giving you an opportunity to change your heart and your mind. Amen? Let's take the opportunities that God gives us to do greater than we've ever did before. Amen? Come on, let's give God a praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. I want you to simply pray with me right here. You must understand that the enemy of your soul has a plan that will take you out. He don't want you to know God. He don't want you to know of God.
And he don't want you to know him as the deliverer. He don't want you to know him as the way maker, the provider. He don't want you to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards your heart and your mind, your emotions and your intelligence. He don't want you to know that. Because he's banking on you being so hurt and so confused and discombobulated that you can't get your bearing to actually come and ask God to help you. But I'm telling you right now that if you will simply say yes to God, he will do something in your life that will change it forever. And it's a process. You didn't get to where you are overnight. And even though your change is instantaneous, it takes time for you to live and develop a kingdom mindset. Amen? You've been thinking that way for the last how many years? You're going to keep thinking that way and while he's changing your mindset. But the more work that gets in, the more teaching that gets in, the better your outlook and your perception. Amen? Okay. Amen. Come on, we're praying. Maybe you need to know the Lord and the pardons of your sin. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. We pray. Lord, I pray that if they pray that prayer, you lead them to a Bible-teaching, a Bible-believing church where they can be mature and develop, go on to do the work that you called them to do. I pray for those who are sick and shedding now, for those who need a touch in their body, for those who need a miracle in their lives, Lord, for those who need the help, Lord, the finances, the resources, those things that will come to help them, Lord, to ease their quality of life and give them a better quality of life and help them, Lord, to give you glory and celebrate you greater, Lord. Provide the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the deliverances. Save those now in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring those who should be here, Lord. Let them come with an open heart and an open mind, ready to work, ready to do those things that it takes to build, submitting themselves to your process. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us and become a vision partner with us. Amen. I pray that the Lord speaks to you and touches your heart, that you sow a seed into this ministry and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, and along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a